Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, it's officially breaking news. A judge has rejected a motion. Kilmar Abrego Garcia, his case is done. He's been given all of the immigration case adjudication conceivable for a human being to have in this country, and then way too much more on top of that. His motion was rejected by the judge. He will now be deported to Uganda. Low-life thug removed from the United States of America. So he loses. And so that, look, this is fantastic news. Absolutely sets the precedent that you were going out the door. Something that, was very difficult before. And Democrats, remember, went through all the trouble of flying to his home country of El Salvador and trying to bring him back to what they called home. I.e. here, yeah. From his actual home,
where
he's actually from. So great news. Hope he enjoys Uganda. Meanwhile, and we really are making progress here. And as we make progress, it's kind of outrageously because we find out like how bad things actually were in this country. Trump in Illinois. Now we're going to Chicago. I keep telling you what he's actually doing there under the guise of, wow, Democrat crime is so bad. We're going to send in National Guard. We're going to send in, we're going in heavy with the feds. What he's actually doing, if you notice, once the roundup comes down and you look at who they dragged out of there and who they caught, it's almost all cartel-connected, human trafficking-connected, or drug-connected illegals with long arrest records. In other words, what they're doing when they go in, they say generally, hey, we're going to go combat Democrat crime, lawlessness. What they come out with, though, is these illegals. And this is amazing. Listen to what they just announced. Operation Midway Blitz, which is they've been on right now. This is what these Chicago politicians, Democrat politicians, are complaining about. Trump arrested over 800 illegal aliens in just a couple of weeks. And when you look at their records, unbelievable. Almost everyone, a violent criminal or repeat offender or both. The list includes pedophiles, murderers, known gang members, rapists, domestic abusers, statutory rape, armed carjacking, child sex crimes. Just one example, Cristobal Carias Macin. He's from El Salvador. Convicted of statutory rape, fraud, aggravated felony with a pending charge of assault and failure to register as a sex offender. He was just walking around because Sanctuary City, they wouldn't cooperate with ICE. And of course, they pawned him out. Stefan Sivis, a criminal illegal from Austria, previously convicted of sexual assault, aggravated criminal sexual assault, aggravated criminal sexual abuse, numerous sexual predator in a public park offenses, child sex offender loitering in violation of his order by the court system in Illinois to register as a sex offender and currently charged with murder, rape, or sexual abuse of a minor. That's his pending charges. How are you charged with murder, rape, or sexual abuse of a minor and you're an illegal immigrant and you're walking around?
Yeah, that's unbelievable. Very good question.
Okay. Wojciech Janik, a criminal legal alien from Poland, was arrested for DUI and strong-arm aggravated assault. He was running around. Eduardo Sandoval, not anymore, Secundio, a criminal legal alien from Mexico, convicted of two counts of driving under the influence, possession of methamphetamine, possession of drug paraphernalia, carrying a handgun while in possession of methamphetamine, felony carrying of a handgun by a felon. So he's already been convicted. Out of here. This is crazy. When you look at this, this is the whole world. Arminas Lupikansas, criminal illegal from Lithuania, previously arrested for burglary, also human trafficking, currently has a removal order, overstayed his visa that expired in 2016, picked him up. So you go on and on and on and on. And they're going in there and they're just deconstructing these criminal networks under the guise of, hey, we're here to fight crime. So this is great. And I think it's smart what they're doing too, Lee, just saying like, hey, they'll go in there and they'll just generally say they're going to fight crime instead of saying, hey, we're coming after illegals. But if you look at the arrest list, I mean, it's just a who's who of gangbangers. So good for Trump.
Well, and you look at this and you think, why are these people even out? I mean, this and this is a continuing problem, whether you're an illegal immigrant or a citizen. I mean, case in point, the sad situation with Irina Zarudzka in Charlotte. This whole situation with the poor girl that got shot in Columbia, whose dad, you know, we had on in that from that special subcommittee meeting in Charlotte the other day, who was screaming at legislators about this guy had been out. Released, you know, dozens of times and several felonies. I mean, whether you're a citizen or an illegal immigrant, we've got a judicial system that is allowing people to roam the streets that are a danger to everyone else out there. I don't get it.
I think, and I truly believe this, I think the Democrats know that these illegals form the human trafficking networks they rely on to bring them the 12 million voters. And I think that they tolerate whatever else they do. They know they need to be out to move the voters in.
No sacrifice of human life is too great for them to continue to take power.
They don't care. Yeah. I mean, listen to Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson, okay? Because this is primarily around the Chicago area. They're using the sanctuary status to hang out and hide from Trump.
The fact of the matter is we are driving violence down on this city and we're using every single resource that's available to us. Jails and incarceration and law enforcement is a sickness that has not led to safe communities.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Then you are not using everything at your disposal.
No.
Because if you're not using jails and law enforcement, you are not using things that you already have the ability to use.
Exactly. No, he's just full. Here's some
exactly.
More. We cannot incarcerate our way out of violence. The addiction on jails and incarceration in this country, we have moved past that. It is racist. It is immoral. It is unholy. And it is not the way to drive violence down.
Now, it is none of those things. It is not racist. It is not unholy. It is not unethical. It protects the citizens, your constituents. That's what happens when people are put into jails as a form of punishment or deterrence, at least.
Well, it's funny that you should bring up deterrence. And you said a minute ago, well, you know, like, do they not care if somebody gets hurt or killed? Oh, Brandon Johnson cares if it's him. Just to live in Chicago, you know, he has a personal 150 police officer detail.
Well, of course.
Take a listen. By the way, those clips I just played you, they're from the last 2 weeks. He's screaming and yelling because he knows that ICE National Guard going in Chicago and he wants to protect the thugs I just listed there. 800 of them, all of them illegal immigrants, all of them with long criminal records. Take a listen, though, to how Brandon Johnson lives.
And your wife, Stacy, be willing to cut your security detail from 150 sworn police officers and put those police officers back on the street where they can protect real Chicagoans?
So we're very proud of the work that we're doing collectively to ensure that our police officers have the resources that they need. As I've said repeatedly, it's policing and affordable housing, it's policing and youth employment, it's policing and mental and behavioral health care services. It's going to take all of us, the business community, the philanthropic community. We're working collectively with Cook County government, the state of Illinois, the state's attorney as well. The volume of
he goes on and on.
That sound you hear is him tap dancing around the answer because he's not giving you one. He can't.
150 officer strong detail. That's how he lives. So, and by the way, Chicago is down 800 police officers. from their peak before the Summer of Love. They've never been able to fully recruit it. And yet that's what his, I mean, that is like an entourage fit for a king.
Oh, beyond that, I would dare say that most federal level government officials that are traveling around the country don't have 150 member Secret Service detail.
Well, and the way that his detail works about, it was interesting reading about this at the time, at any given time, about a third of the officers are working on the detail because obviously they have to work around the clock. So he's basically flanked at any given time by 50 police officers.
Yeah, I was going to say, if my old school math is right, that's still about 50 officers.
Yeah, and so then they go off duty and the next come on, you know, their another 8-hour shift. 50 officers.
Wow. Can you think of the expense of that? Because I'm sure Chicago officers probably make close to 100 grand a year.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise
on that detail.
Me.
I mean, probably somewhere between 75,000 and 100 grand a year.
And they 50. Also, they protect his wife, too.
Well, of course, yeah.
So, in answer to your question, I mean, his human life is important. Obviously, to him, you can tell,
right.
But nobody else's.
No, no.
Nobody else's. By the way, don't you find that interesting? Because didn't he just say law enforcement was unholy?
Yeah.
But not when they're protecting him, though.
Right, because they're doing a great job of that.
Right. Typical liberal.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Former Representative Adam Morgan, former head of the Freedom Caucus, left office recently to run for Congress. Good morning, Representative.
Good morning.
Representative Morgan. Okay, I wanted to have you on this morning to help me understand what has happened here. Because when this poor, beautiful young woman, Logan Federico, leaves Charlotte, which we're told is a very dangerous Democrat law enforcement environment, right? Comes down to USC and in a red state, or at least we're told it's red, and does not survive it. And while she's down here, she is murdered naked on her knees, just staying with friends at USC, murdered by a guy charged with 39 crimes and convicted of 25 felonies. And he's out.
Now, yeah, roaming the streets.
Roaming the streets. Now, what is so remarkable about that is when you look at the rap sheet of the guy who killed Irina Zaruska, and everybody nationwide is outraged about this. Well, Alexander Dickey's rap sheet is far worse.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy who killed Zaruska is a choir boy by comparison because he does not have as many violent felonies. Not even, I mean, he doesn't even have a dozen violent felonies. This guy's got 25 convictions and 39 violent felony or felony charges. And he's out.
Yeah. I mean, they knew he was going to do this again.
Yeah.
That's the part that's so disgusting. I mean, it's so predictable. And yet a judge let him out knowing that he was likely going to do it again. And someone was killed because of it. And it's really the prosecutor, Byron Gibson, who's a Democrat, down in the Columbia area. He's the one that botched this entire prosecution. And he's the same guy, if you remember the Gerard Price scandal from, 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. He and Todd Rutherford, the assistant or the minority leader in the House of Representatives, an elected official, they worked together to get that murderer out. I mean, he hadn't even served half of his time of a 35-year sentence, and they got a sealed judge's order, and they let him out trying to, sneak it by anybody noticing. And thankfully, it got caught. It was overturned by the Supreme Court, and they had to catch the guy, a fugitive case all the way in New York And it was an elected solicitor and the minority leader, elected official from the South Carolina House, that did that one. And here it is, the same guy who botches this prosecution, he gets out and then goes and murders Logan. And it's just, it's infuriating. I mean, this is South Carolina politics. I don't know if you saw the Jesse Waters clip where he's talking about it on Fox News, and he just excoriates the corruption in South Carolina, and he specifically points it to exactly what it is. The root cause is you have all these elected officials who are trial lawyers, specifically defense attorneys. They run for office because it's a benefit, because they select the judges in South Carolina, the very judges that they will then go and practice in front of. And so how does that work? Well, when Todd Rutherford decides he wants his murderous convict to get out early, the judge is going to do a sealed order and let him out because, hey, if he doesn't, he might not get to be a judge anymore. And that's what happened in that case. That's what happened in this case. Enough is enough. This solicitor, the House of Representatives, since they like to throw in these judges that are terrible, and they need to call a session, they need to impeach this solicitor. I mean, he literally got someone killed. He has a record of being weak on crime and of these kind of scandals. He's abused his position. And then the other thing that needs to happen is the electorate needs to wake up. South Carolina's politics are so corrupt because of this specific reason. We are the only state that still allows lawyer legislators to select judges and then, you know, go in and practice in front of them. It's rife for corruption. Any other state that did it got rid of it years ago, some in the 1800s, because they realized how corrupt it is. And until we fix this issue, we're going to be behind on most things in South Carolina.
Yeah, and I checked this on Google. It says as of 2025, just two states in the entire nation, South Carolina and Virginia, use what they call legislative elections. It just means your legislators, as you were saying, Representative Morgan, just use, everybody else elects their judges, but not us. And so if you're a judge, you know that if the legislator who voted for you or someone from their law firm comes before you and you don't help them out, wink, wink, nod, nod, getting that guy back out, get him out of the street, then you know you're not going to get your judgeship back the next time.
Oh, yeah. And you know, that happened. And see, Virginia, they have actually changed theirs.
Oh, have they?
So that even
okay.
though it's still basically legislature elected, but it has a lot of protections. And we've filed those year after year. I mean, Ralph Norman led the fight for years. Jonathan Hill led the fight for years. The Freedom Caucus has been doing it the last 6 years. The bills are all filed to fix this stuff, to get rid of the secret pledges, to remove lawyer legislators from voting on the judges, a whole host of different reforms. And they never even get hearings year over year. But, you know, a couple years ago, the Speaker of the House, who is a trial lawyer, he had a case where he had this massive judgment that was awarded. He went around and shopped and found a jurisdiction that he could get a big jury verdict. He gets this massive verdict. It gets appealed because it was ridiculous. The judge looks at it and goes, no, absolutely not. He throws it out. And you know what happens to that judge the next time he comes up? He is removed from being a judge in South Carolina.
And you
know
he did
who
his job.
Replaced? Oh, yeah, because yeah. He did his job and he stood. He ruled the way that the speaker didn't want. And so you know what happens when you do that? You get removed as a judge. And then guess who was replaced and put as a judge in his place?
I can't
imagine. Relative of the speaker. His
That's
cousin.
Ridiculous.
That is South Carolina in a nutshell. And until they fix those kind of issues, I mean, people should be, you know, screaming in the streets over this stuff, but most people don't even know, because all they do is focus on what's going on in Washington and they don't even have a clue what's going on in Columbia. Well, ladies and gentlemen, what's going on in Columbia might get you or your kids killed. So it's time to get serious about this and throw these guys out who are corrupting the system and change the system so that they can't abuse their power.
Adam Morgan, I got a couple more questions for you. Do you have a minute to just hang around for one more segment?
Yeah.
Okay. Because I want to ask you about something else that's going on. One of the things that has not been reported anywhere else but this show, because I went and did a deep dive on Alexander Dickey's record. He had been sentenced to 25 years in prison across three cases by the same judge. And yet he was walking around. How is that possible? We'll come back and talk about it on the other end. It is truly remarkable. We'll be back in a minute.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is so cool. Nancy Mace just commented on this podcast. She was listening. Fantastic. Never know who will tune in to the Tara Show. Okay. I want to bring Adam Morgan back up. Because I know that even though you're not serving the legislature right now, you still are sort of the heart and brains of the Freedom Caucus and leading the fight there on, you know, conservatives against the Republican Party, which is ridiculous that that has to happen, but you are. Okay. Logan Federico. Adam Morgan, are you there? Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I want to run this by you and see if you've heard of this before and get your reaction to it, okay? I did a deep dive into Alexander Dickey's criminal history, and it was shocking. I went back to 2013. That's how far back it stretches. When he got what's called a 5-year suspended sentence for 9 breaking and entering into an automobile, 1 theft of an automobile, 1 larceny over $10,000, and 1 possession of stolen goods, all combined. He got, he pled guilty, got what's called a 5-year suspended sentence. I don't know if you've heard of suspended sentences before.
Yeah.
Okay. So here's what, how that's supposed to work. And so you plead guilty or the jury convicts you and they say, okay, there's 5 years, but then the judge can say in South Carolina, oh, you don't have to serve that. I'm going to suspend your sentence. They're supposed to really only do it for like first offenses. And the way it's supposed to work is if you violate the precepts of the court, you know, they said you should get drug counseling, you don't show up, then you go to prison. If you commit another crime, you've violated the terms of your suspended sentence, and then you go to prison, right? But only the judge can bring back the suspended sentence, right? Make you do it. Okay, he gets 5 years for that, right? This is in 2013. Okay, then this is before Democrat Prosecutor Gibson ever takes office. A Republican is actually the prosecutor over that area. Okay, then we roll into 2014. He's done another burglary, separate offense, pleads guilty, gets a 10-year felony sentence. But then a judge, Representative Morgan, by the name of Edward W. Miller, suspends it. He's already on 1 suspended sentence. For anyone keeping track, he should be doing 15 years in prison, but he's just walking around.
Yep.
Okay, wait, hold on. That's 2014. He gets busted for burglary again. And in 2015, another judge convicts him, gives him 5 years. And guess what he does? You got to guess? Makes him serve 225 days and suspends the sentence. We're up to 20 years now. Now, at this point, Judge Miller should have gone back and said, you're done, bud. I'm yanking that sentence. You're going, I'm gonna trigger your suspended sentences as judge can do. He doesn't. We get to 20 years, right? He's walking around. Any of these judges, all they got to do is say, we're done. You're going to prison because they're on suspended sentence, right? We'll just trigger the sentence. 2023. Guess what he does? Burglary again. Again. And guess what he gets from the same judge, Edward Miller? Another 5-year suspended sentence. Now, Miller makes him serve 411 days. He gets out and he kills Logan Federico. He should have been in prison for 30 years.
Yep.
But these judges are not going, and the judge is the only one who could do it, are not going back and fixing a suspended sentence. Did you know about this, Adam Morgan? Can you comment on it? Is there a way, if we can't curb these liberal legislators from putting the most corrupt judges on the bench, maybe we can take away their ability to suspend these sentences. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that's really an underlying answer would be to take away some of the leeway, because judges and prosecutors both have a lot of tools at their disposal to mete out justice. The prosecutors can go after stronger charges, which was the main thing in this case. With all of these past crimes, he should have gotten a much they should have gone after higher charges that would have limited the judge further on what kind of leeway they could do. But the judges, really, I mean, that's just the underlying issue, is why in the world do we have judges that would even do that? I mean, it's so stupid to be giving out those suspended sentences. And what they're saying is it's time served. Oh, you did 411 days in custody, so we'll let you out. 411 days out of 5 years. And if you know the track record of this guy, that he's been, you know, arrested multiple times for the same thing, I mean, he's going to do it again. He's already proven that. And it's just he unfortunately got in front of two of the weakest, softest on crime judges that we have in South Carolina, both who are known and have records of being that way. And so both of them should have never been put in as judges in the first place. And both of them should have been removed long before, you know, they were. And I think that legislatively, what they could do is to change the ability for judges to do that. Sometimes it's also the parole board and different groups can kind of come in and change, you know, the length of sentences, or which gives even more leeway based on good behavior. And that was another argument both in the Gerard Price case and even in this one, that, oh, well, they're actually pretty compliant and, you know, they're doing good behavior in you know, prison. So they're probably going to be okay on the streets, which is just, I mean, patently false. You see it right here in this case. You know, they can be on their best behavior for a little bit for, you know, law enforcement. And then they have he has a pattern of when he is free, he goes and preys on the vulnerable in society. And so, yeah, I think there's multiple things you have to do. One is in the quality of judges you're appointing. And I will say that is changing in my time in the legislature. When I first got there in the legislature, any judge that knew somebody, like somebody's buddy, somebody's law partner, somebody's spouse, they would fly through the selection process if you even remotely knew a legislator. And a lot of those, there's a lot of Democrat legislators. So you got a lot of Democrat and or just left-leaning, more liberal Republican, quote-unquote, judges who were just sailing through. That doesn't happen as much anymore. It still does, but there's a lot more focus. There's been a lot of groundwork laid by us calling out bad judges. I don't know if you remember the whole Kay Hearn issue. She was on the Supreme Court. Her husband decided that she would be a good Supreme Court justice, so he ran to be in the legislature, won, served 2 years, and in those 2 years put his wife up for Supreme Court. She won unanimously. Everybody knew she was a Democrat, but yet she got on the Supreme Court, and what does she do? She writes the concurrent or the majority opinion that struck down the heartbeat bill those years ago. And we had called for her to be removed, the conservatives, and nobody would, even though we were the massive supermajority. Both House and Senate said, oh, absolutely not. You don't do that. Even though we knew she was a liberal, she had ruled multiple times, very public liberal rulings. And so I think there is more focus now, which is a good thing. But the selection process either needs to fundamentally change, where you can't have that kind of corruption just because a Democrat has a cousin or a law partner that they want to make a judge. It ain't going to happen. Like that shouldn't be happening anymore. That there's a judicial nepotism bill we had that would have prevented that. And over half of the House co-sponsored that bill alone. Half of that. So it would have passed if it went to the floor. But yet it never got a hearing, even though half of the elected officials co-sponsored it. And it was because they sent it to judiciary and the lawyer legislators killed it. So those are the two parts. You got to fundamentally change the system to get better quality judges and limit the bad ones that could get in there. And then you could have legislative answers like limiting the judge's discretion, certain mandatory sentences, or restricting what they can do. And same thing with prosecutors, both getting a better selection of prosecutors and more clearly defining what the charges they have to bring.
Is there, I know it's in the state constitution that unfortunately judges are selected by our corrupt legislators. Is it too hard to change the state constitution, do you think, to fix that? Is that like not a route you guys would go?
No, I don't think it. I mean, there's all sorts of constitutional changes over the years that happen. If the public has a stomach for it, which which the polling shows this is actually a bipartisan issue. Like literally pretty much everybody agrees that they want a non-corrupt justice system. like nobody thinks that legislators, spouses, and business partners should just be de facto appointed because of, you know, who they know. Like the competency should be the main qualification. And that's pretty much universally accepted. And so the problem is you have a lot of weak, spineless elected officials who, even though they agree that it is a massively corrupt system, they're not going to push against it and even vote against it because House leadership, I mean, we just went through the role. You got the Speaker of the House, who's a trial lawyer. You have the minority leader, Todd Rutherford, the head Dem, who's a trial lawyer, defense attorney, who was caught up in the Gerard Price scandal. And so they're not going to break ranks and actually oppose them. And anybody that does, well, guess what happens to them? They get thrown out of the Republican caucus, so which is what happened to the Freedom Caucus guys, who have always been the lead voices on judicial reform. Before it was Jonathan Hill, then it was Josiah Magnuson and myself, and then really Joe White has become one of the main ones now. And there's no surprise that all of those figures are either Freedom Caucus guys or were outliers like Jonathan, the Freedom Caucus of his day.
And we have to, unfortunately, we have to wrap up the segment because we're out of time. I'd just love to see you guys consider taking away from judges across the board the ability to suspend sentences in this state. Because I got to tell you, this judge that suspended 25 years of sentences and, you know, across four cases is sitting on the bench today in Greenville County courtroom. And I have no doubt this is not his first rodeo. He's got a pile of dead girls that he's left in his wake. I have no doubt about that. And right now, by the way, he's ignoring me. I sent him a request for comment, and he will not even deign to respond to my email. I guess he thinks that's going to kill it. It's not. And so I really need, I've been asking, if you know the judge in this case, if you know Judge Edward W. Miller, could you ask him to respond to my email? The title on the email, the title line, the subject line is, is Logan Federico murder. So look it up, yeah. Judge, and you'll see you did this. I mean, you didn't.
As well.
Yeah, you didn't pull the trigger, but you might as well have. You know,
I mean, he has a reputation, and that is well known. And so there's really no reason that he remains on the bench.
We got to get this guy back off the bench. This is crazy. I mean, this is insane.
Yeah, it is crazy. Yeah, and like I said, it'd be one thing if it's the one time, it would still be hugely problematic and we'd be demanding some kind of action. But this is somebody that has a history of being weak on crime. And isn't it just even more embarrassing that he's in Greenville?
Yeah, so. Sitting in Greenville. He was he's a circuit judge, so he rules all of the state. That's how he was able to let out Alexander Dickey out of 20 years that he was sentenced to in prison for his crimes. And that is the sole reason that Logan Federico is dead. Adam Morgan, thank you so much for joining us this morning. And thank you for trying to save these poor victims of crime.
Well,
it's the Righteous Brothers Farewell Tour. Yeah, and right now you can win two tickets. Yep, Spartanburg Auditorium, October 11th. You can win them right now. We'll take the first caller to call us on the Common Sense Retirement Planning call line. Sorry, not text line. 800-905-0989. That's October 11th. Or you can break down and buy them. There'll be another opportunity to win them tomorrow. So, so you're probably thinking the original, you know, lead singer has passed. They've got a guy who sounds just like him, though. And the rest of the band is still alive. So maybe your last time to catch them. Love that band. Okay. Best of luck. Folks, I want to hit this real quick. Democrats now pretending that they would never give 1.4 million illegal immigrants health care in violation of federal law, which is what the Congressional Budget Office not only found that they did, got the post up on my X feed, but that it cost $185 billion a year. They did it. They know it. And that's why they want to reverse the big, beautiful bill, which made it illegal. But they're all acting like, No, no, no. Obamacare makes that illegal. You can't do that. No, you can at the federal level. But what happened was that states were signing up, liberal states, blue states were signing up illegals. And then the federal government was reimbursing the Medicaid costs. So that's the loophole they closed with the big, beautiful bill. What Democrats are saying is if you don't get rid of that section of the big, beautiful bill, if you don't redact it, we're shutting down the government. But what the Democrats have been saying in their media, they've been lying and lying and lying and lying. No, no, that's illegal. We'd never do that. No, no, no. There's no illegals on healthcare, folks. Want to go back to the 2020 primary debate? Kamala Harris is on the stage. So is Joe Biden. They're all there. Elizabeth Warren, Pete Buttigieg. And she asks this question. All their hands go up. And here's the question that she asked.
This is a show of hands question. And hold them up for a moment so people can see. Raise your hand if your government plan would provide coverage for undocumented immigrants.
Mm-hmm. So now, I mean, there's such a huge game of pretend going on right now. Pretend, 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 pretend. Us? No, we would never do that. We don't support that. Yeah, they do. And yeah, they did. They did it. And they're mad because it got reversed.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.